Dubai Eye
103.8. We turn our attention to the world of professional medicine and rehabilitation. We are joined by a medical professional, a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and one who has helped thousands, nay, tens of thousands here to get back on their feet, quite literally. Swedish-born, recognised as the athlete's doctor, providing a one-stop shop for athletes and anyone within the active population seeking to maintain a healthy and fulfilling lifestyle through sport. Dubai-raised, educated globally, qualified from Leicester University as a family practitioner. She completed her MSc in sports and exercise medicine in Nottingham and gained a fellowship in Ireland. Since then, she has received accolades from medical and educational establishments the world over. Schooled here in Dubai, where she was the head girl at Dubai College and a talented academic and sports person in her own right. Credits one of her teachers at the time with helping her to guide her decision to pursue sports medicine. A good decision, because after completing those studies abroad, returned to Dubai to realise that injured athletes had limited access to specialist services. What did that prompt? Well, it prompted her to found and create Up and Running Integrated Sports Medicine Centre back in 2010. The first and the most progressive integrated sports medical centre to be licensed here in the UAE. It continues to help thousands here in the region and further afield. And those efforts have been recognised by a number of organisations down the years. She provides clinical support to high-profile sporting events in the region, the Rugby Sevens, the ATP Tour. She's worked as an official PGA European Tour doctor since 2009. She formed part of the London Olympic medical team in 2012. She has an international reputation and one that has garnered a number of awards and accolades. In 2014, she was the 360 Fit Award Health Specialist of the Year winner. In 2015, Mead Golf SME Awards nominated her as one of the finalists for her award, for those awards. Sports Medicine and Rehab Facility of the Year winner in 2015. And this year, she has been nominated and is a current finalist for the 2018 Emirates Woman of the Year Awards, which will be revealed a little later on this month. On top of it all, she is, of course, a mother to four very proud daughters. Two in their 20s who study abroad, two who attend primary school right here in Dubai. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio for Making Tracks this Thursday afternoon the founder and the medical director of Up and Running Sports Medical Centre. Please welcome Dr. Anna Zickerman. Anna, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for the introduction. And I enjoy being here and to share my story.
Well, it is a story that we want to dive straight into as well, because I use that word international. And so many of our guests that sit in that seat are international in nature, by the very nature of what they do. I don't think we've had anyone quite as international as you, because when we look at your scope, your experiences, your education, the way that you approach your business on a day-to-day, it seems to be international. Do you think that's a good quality to have here in a city like Dubai here in the UAE?
Absolutely. I mean, being international here, there's such a mix and variety of people. And I think being international helps us cater for the whole population and not just targeted.
Let's get back to where it all started. Let's get a dive into a little of the background, because you grew up here in Dubai, didn't you?
Correct.
But Swedish born, is that right?
I was born in Sweden and moved to Bahrain when I was three. When I was five, we moved to Dubai.
Do you remember the move to the Middle East, or was it too young?
I do. And I do remember my mum taking the dummy off and saying, they don't have any dummies down there. They don't use them. And we came here and we saw somebody with a dummy and we all started crying because she'd thrown them all away.
Let's talk about those Swedish roots, though, first and foremost. I mean, is that something, if you mentioned that you moved away from Sweden at 3 years old, have you remained true to your Swedish roots, though?
We always go back every year. We've got family there. Until recently, we had grandparents there. We have a summer house there. So, yeah, Sweden's still my second home. Dubai's always my first.
Bahrain to Dubai in those formative years as well. What are your sort of earliest memories of life here in the GCC, in the region?
Yeah, we lived the first time because we came and went a few times because in those days contracts lasted 2 years. So we left and then came back again. The first place we lived was the other side. So the Dubai side of Safa Park. We were in a white compound and we were right on the edge of Dubai. There were sand dunes outside our compound. And I just remember going out into the sand dunes with my brother. And I remember my dad buying a Range Rover. He bought it secondhand. It had no doors on it. And he took it out into the desert and he said, right, come on, let's go out for a drive. And then he got out of the car and left us steering. And he had it on the sort of first gear and it carried on going. And he just stood there and watched us. And we started like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? Going up and down these sort of sand dunes. Of course, he caught up with us and we're absolutely fine. But sort of those fun memories when you could do that sort of thing and you buy your Range Rover with no doors and then looking for second parts to add to it.
Sounds like a very active outdoor upbringing. When you think back on the time growing up here and further afield as well, you think of the values instilled by your mother and father into you and your siblings as well. What would you say are those that have sort of rung true for you to this day?
Family values. I mean, it's so important to respect your parents and to believe in yourself and to listen to elders, respect their opinion. Yes, we all want to learn our own way, but often be guided by them. And I think generally values for me is believing in yourself, believing in what you want to achieve. And I think that's been something that I've been pushing all the way through is having a dream and making it come true, no matter what.
Fun times back here, back in the region, back in the day. What sort of, when was this? Sort of 80s, 90s? Was that around about then?
70s.
No, it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. No, 70s. It wasn't. I mean, we've all got sort of memories of that time. We've all heard of stories of that time. We'll look back at some of the stories that come from that time. It seemed to be a land of opportunity for so many. Is that something that rings true?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, Dubai was very small in those days. It was new. I remember talking about the desert again. My dad used to drive the car across the two-lane Sheikh Zayed Road to his work. and to go into Abu Dhabi, it was a bumpy dirt track. So obviously, things have changed. People have moved into Dubai. It's grown, expanded tremendously. Over the years, after the first time when we first lived here, I went to Jess when it was a porter cabin. We had a tent that burnt down at the weekend, so we had no school to go to. But obviously, as Dubai grew, Jess grew. We moved and came back, went back to Jess, and we were the villa closest to Jess at the time. And I remember building camps in the desert, again, outside our house. We found these wooden boards and we used to dig into the sand and make little camps. I was given a horse, who was unfortunately injured, so we were trying to rehabilitate her. And my brother had a little Honda Z50 motorbike, so we used to go out in the desert together on these, and we had this freedom of going wherever we wanted because the desert was just an open playing field. I also used to take my horse, Natasha, riding into Safa Park. It was sand, sort of part of that was sand dunes, so we took her riding there, and we managed to rehabilitate her really well. So she gained weight because she was an injured polo horse. That'd been left, unfortunately. But we managed to get her fully functional. So I was even cantering on her with a fused ankle and she was doing really well. So I have some amazing memories from those days.
Talking of memories, we ask you to select a couple of songs that are significant to you for various junctures during your life. You've picked four for us. We got them in the system. I'm going to ask you, please, to introduce song number one and why you chose it.
Well, being Swedish, it has to be ABBA and it has to be Mamma Mia.
Now
Dubai College, because you mentioned there a bit of jazz and the exploits here in the desert. Round about now, we ask our subjects whether they were good students. You were head girl, so I think it was fair to say you were a good student. You enjoyed school, is that right?
I did. I loved it.
Did you flourish there as well?
Yeah, I think Dubai College brought out the best in me in every level. And you know, I really enjoyed our science lessons, our crazy chemistry teacher, our challenging physics lessons, and I loved the sport and also art. Unfortunately, I had to drop art quite early, but I did enjoy the whole experience.
From those experiences, from the experiences of growing up, of youth, the schooling here, and everything seems to be so positive, and therefore a very big and close bond with this part of the world. Was it difficult for you to then make the decision to go to further education abroad?
No, that was a given. My intention was always to go to university. I hadn't quite decided what to do, and I remember trying to research. It's very difficult to research here because you have no internet and you don't have access to a lot of resources, a limited range of people you can talk to. I'd never lived in England, but having studied the sort of British curriculum, then that was the obvious place to go. So doing the O-levels and A-levels and then forwarding on to university was just a natural path to take. And I remember while I was trying to make my decisions on A-levels to take and choose, that sort of deciding which route I wanted to go in life. And I remember my PE teacher coming up to me one day and saying, "Anna, have you decided what to do yet?" And I was like, "No, I don't know, maybe a vet or yeah, I wasn't quite sure." And she said, "Anna, I think you should do sports medicine."
Really?
And I was like, "Oh." She said, "Yep, you're great at sciences, you're great at sports. I think you'd be a great sports medicine doctor." And that to me was a light bulb turning moment where you thought, "Yep, that's absolutely it." And I've not looked back since.
Not looked back, and you look for the best places to study that. Was that part of the process of choosing Leicester and then Nottingham after that?
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult because I'm an overseas student.
Yep.
So I had very limited choices to where I could go. Leicester accepted overseas, and I'm very pleased I got there because that has opened huge amounts of doors for me, having gone through Leicester, and I ended up staying in Leicester a lot longer than was anticipated. I thought 5 years of medical school, great. I'll then come back to Dubai, set up my sports injury clinic and come back home.
That was the plan from an early stage, was it?
That was really the plan. You get to university and they start talking about house jobs and you've got to specialise. And I was like, no, 5 years and I'll be back in Dubai. And I remember the panic in me to think that I had to stay in England any more than 5 years.
Yeah.
But obviously I had to take it on the chin and just say, okay, it is what it is. You know, I've had my determination hat on and thought, okay, I'll just go with it. But what really hit me was the fact that doing my research, there was no sports medicine specialty in the UK at the time.
Okay.
So that threw me, completely threw me. And I was completely confused and didn't know what to do. And in the end, I thought, actually, maybe I'll be a pediatrician or maybe I'll be a general physician. But I enjoyed everything I studied. I enjoyed every different topic that we covered. I'd enjoyed working all the departments. But I was still so gutted that I just couldn't find the one I really flourished on sort of pushing through. But that's okay. I'm sort of completed medical school. I went through my rotations. And in the end, I thought, actually, I quite like all the different subjects and I couldn't choose one. So I ended up going down general medicine and qualified as a general practitioner. And it was during some of this training that we discussed what GPs did as a second interest. So GP with a special interest was quite big at the time in the UK. And somebody mentioned that one of their trainers in their practice had done an MSc in sports medicine. And I thought, oh, where? And I remember calling up Nottingham immediately and got an interview and got straight in to do their master's. So I was back on track.
It's almost as if things sort of doors open up through chance meetings with certain individuals. And you mentioned it as you described it as that light bulb moment. You genuinely believe that we have those light bulb moments.
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
Let's get some more music for you now. So we've taken you back to sort of those early days in the Midlands, over in the United Kingdom, Leicester to Nottingham, and then, of course, the Fellowship over in Ireland as well. Give us a song from the era, if you like.
Well, one of my favourite songs has always been The Eye of the Tiger. It's sort of spanned across a lot of years and it's always been a classic, and it's one that always gets me going.
It gets everyone going, doesn't it? We're in conversation with Dr. Anna Zickerman. Anna is the brains behind Up and Running Sports Medical Centre here in Dubai. Maybe you've been treated by Anna and her team down there. If not, you want to find out more, we'll give you all the details of how you can get in touch. In fact, talking of getting in touch, people are texting in as we speak at the moment. Paul says, Dr. Anna, a true inspiration, super doctor, but more truly a super person. Thank you very much indeed for that one, Paul. Keep them coming in. 4001. News headlines is after The Eye of the Tiger, song selection number two for Dr. Anna. Caught up again with Anna because we've worked through time in Dubai, into education, Dubai College, off to university in the United Kingdom. You mentioned there about 5 years. That's where you're going. You're off to Leicester. Going to do Leicester. Get your qualification. 5 years back to Dubai. 5 years became 14. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So just a little bit of an elongation, yeah?
Slight.
But that was part of the academic process. It was part of the experience process as well, because along with the qualifications, you needed to gain experience because you needed that specialty. You wanted that specialty. Is that right?
Correct. So once you qualify as a doctor, you work. But you also, while you're working, you still sit exams. You continue to study all the way through while you're still learning.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the opportunities that came to me was that when I'd completed my general practice training, I could get a year where I could work anywhere as long as I spent 2 days in general practice, and I'd still get paid for it.
Yeah.
So I used that opportunity to go and work with orthopedic surgeons, with orthopedics, with rheumatologists. And I did another long stint in A&E department, in accident and emergency, in Leicester being one of the busiest A&E departments in the UK. Mm. Learned loads from that. So again, focusing on musculoskeletal injuries and trauma as well. And in the general practice setting, I set up the musculoskeletal services. And from then on, started working with primary care trusts as well within musculoskeletal services, stroke, sports injuries. I did a stint with Leicester City Football Club. I worked, I had links with the Tigers, with the rugby players in Leicester as well through contacts, and also some links with UK Athletics.
Yeah. We often talk in this segment about that sort of moment of coming to Dubai, but it was more a case of coming back to Dubai for you. So when was the sort of Dubai hashtag two, or Dubai the second time round? What sort of year was this?
2006.
Okay. And when you got back here into the sun, into the UAE, did you know what you wanted to do?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was setting up a clinic.
And that was it?
Yep.
There was no need to sort of, you know, go and shop around, have a look and get spirits here.
Nope.
You needed to create your own clinic.
Absolutely.
Why? Because there was a gap in the market?
It was my plan.
That was the plan.
It was always my plan.
And was there, with the clinic you had in mind, was there anything similar to that here then?
No. In fact, I don't think there was anything similar elsewhere anywhere. Having gone through all the training I had, I mean, yes, I had this plan to set up a sports medicine clinic, but I didn't actually know what I was expecting. Mm. But you then sit back and think, what does the athlete need? Okay, it needs a doctor. Yeah, got that. It needs some physiotherapists. Okay, I'll look for those. We need a nurse. We need, okay, what are osteos? Okay, yes, they'd be great to have on board. Sports massage, yes, we need that too. Let's do some fitness testing. And all of a sudden you expand mm. and you've got this amazing project plan that you can work with. And then you start recruiting to get the right people on board. So it's actually trying to cover the whole needs of the active athlete. So and in order to try and cater for their needs, but not just that, also then looking at the weekend warriors and mm. the people who sit in the office all day and get neck pain, back pain, repetitive strain, and how can we help those and also encourage them into the active lifestyle and improve their overall longevity through lifestyle changes.
Yeah. Up and running, Sports Medical Center was, correct me if I'm wrong, established 2010, is that right?
Yes.
So in that interim period, 2006-2010, I mean, was that area, that when obviously you're looking to see your vision come into fruition, but also were you learning on the go as well? Because suddenly you're thrown into that role of businesswoman and entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming to Dubai as a woman trying to set up a business, certainly in the earlier days, was extremely challenging. Yeah. So there's a lot to combat, a lot of red tape to get through. Unfortunately, it didn't happen as quickly as I liked, but that's absolutely fine. You know, I've been here, I've been brought up here. We've got thousands of stories from friends and families. You know, you just get on with it and you just keep plodding. And eventually you will get to where you want to go. You just mm. need to find a way to get there and speak to the right people. So I started off working in Dubai Healthcare City. Yeah. In a clinic there, in family medicine clinic, and started doing my sort of sports medicine services there. Started to build the practice until I felt ready to actually set up my own by the time I'd got through a lot of the red tape in the background as well. And the first clinic I set up was actually called Back on Track on yeah. Beach Road. But unfortunately, there were a few issues there. So we left that and then had to find yet another premise. Mm. We then found an amazing premise on Al-Wassel Road and got started. And that was at the point where I was pregnant with my fourth child. Yeah. So I remember while we're doing all the changes in the villa, having my little baby in her car seat, just a 2 months old, and the other one sort of running around picking up bricks and, you know, tools and trying to stop her at the same time. But we eventually got there and we opened the doors to up and running in September 2010.
The rest, as they say, is almost history. 8 years on, you have an extraordinary reputation, not just personally, but as an establishment as well for the high clinical standards, the experience, the qualified clinicians as well. I mean, in terms of those clinicians, you'd had all the qualifications, you've got the fellowships, you've got that great reputation as well. Was it tough to attract the standard of clinicians and specialists you wanted?
I looked to see what caliber clinicians I wanted. So the only place I could find them was from abroad.
Yeah.
So recruiting from abroad initially, yeah, great. People love the thought of coming to Dubai and they find it all really amazing. So we did get a lot of people wanting to move out. But then you also get those who are a little more apprehensive. Oh, but what if? Because they're making a step, leaving a secure job back in the UK and coming out. So our recruitment was mainly from the UK and from sort of Europe, mm. All Western trained. But we gradually built and created a brilliant team of clinicians of the highest standard. And they're all, in one way, individual practitioners. They are the top of the top. You know, I would get treated by any of them. I'd send my parents to any of them. And that's what makes us into what we are. So we integrate really well. And we've also learned a lot from each other. So as the team has grown and developed, you spend time with other clinicians mm. and you sort of see what they do and you think, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll try that next time. And you share ideas, you share cases, and it's what makes us more interesting. And we love the challenging cases and the case discussions that we have where we're really thinking, hang on, but that doesn't make sense. But what about this and what about that? And they're all intelligent conversations and they're deep thinking and you're trying to find a solution. Sort of like once mentioned what I do being more like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
You are the investigator. You've got the little ideas in front of you, what could be going on, but you've got to try and piece them together. And it's not just what, it's why. Mm. And until you have the why, you can't fix the what. So therefore, by identifying the source of the problem, you can fix them, not just fix the problem, but make sure it doesn't come back again. And then you can use that to educate them.
So much more to talk about, and around about 15 minutes to do exactly that. We've got to get the music in as well. We've asked you to select four songs for Sonic Signposts of the times that we've been talking about. Now, I think track number three needs a little bit of an explanation. Tell us more.
Oh, I'm not sure people have heard this song. It is one of those songs that, well, as I said, we moved backwards and forwards to Dubai a few times. And every time we came back, we played this song with huge memories. This is my past. This is how I remember Dubai in my earlier years.
This one's called Life in the Emirates. It's by The Establishment. It's song number three for Dr. Anna Zuckerman. Enjoy.
He's not working, and the desert is burning in the hot noonday sun. But I've learned how to cope, take the smooth with the rough. Just like every expat, I'm a long way from home. Hala wama haba to life in the Emirates, Dubai, Ras Al Khaimah, Abu Dhabi, Ajman. They're the places I love and the places I won't forget. Sharjah, Fujairah, and Umm El Quwain. Well, I miss my sweet wife, but I miss my dear children. Sometimes I feel like it's breaking my heart, and I'll never get used to having Sunday on Friday. But I know I'll feel sorry when it's time to depart. Hala wa mahaba to life. Places I love and the places I won't forget. Sharjah, Fujairah and Umm El Quwain. I work hard for my dirhams and I try hard to save some. At the end of each day I am worked to the bone. But the friends I have made here will be my friends forever. Bukra, inshallah, I am never alone.
Dr. Anna Zuckerman, the owner, the entrepreneur, the founder, medical director, sports medicine specialist, special guest of Making Tracks, and the brains behind Up and Running. How do you balance it all, Anna? Because you're a mum of four. You've got a very successful business. I'm assuming the business is growing at the moment as well. Do you find time to balance it? Are you able to balance family and work?
It has its challenges. Now, obviously, family do have to be prioritised under certain circumstances, but then I often work when the kids go to bed. I work before they wake up in the morning. I work when they've got play dates. So I do try and catch up where I can. And over the years, it has been work has taken over a little bit, but of recent, I've managed to restructure it to the point where I can spend more time with the kids, pick them up from school and make sure we do the homework and spend some quality time together.
I mentioned at the top of the show that you're a mother to four daughters, two here in Dubai at school at the moment, two still at school, but big school over in the United Kingdom where they're studying at university over there. They're studying their masters, as you mentioned to me just a few moments ago. Are they wanting to follow in their mum's footsteps?
Not at all. I wish one of them would. But no, one's in English history and looking at international relations. The other one's more physics and maths orientated, looking more at sort of going down sustainability routes and policy. So as far from medicine as you can get.
The business is booming at the moment. You've helped so many literally get back on their feet, so many get back up and running. I'm assuming, and given the passion with which you talk about your skill and your art and your business, that this is set to continue. Are you looking to expand?
Indeed. And we have, as of today, started work in our DIFC venue.
Wow, okay.
We look forward to opening that early January.
Okay. And what's the plan? I mean, if you sit here with me, Joe, and look about the vision, do you set yourself a sort of a goal, a vision?
It's always difficult in Dubai. You set yourself a goal and then you speak to somebody and new opportunities come up and you suddenly do a sort of 90 degree turn and angle. However, yes, we do have a long-term vision and it is very exciting. But the most important at the moment is to focus on our core, perfect what we do, make sure that we network as much as we can. We have some great links, both in the region, the whole MENA region, people that are referring into us. We've got people referring from the UK to us for people who live in the region, who they've been seeing and recommend us. We work a lot with international teams that come over, in particular from Europe, but also Australia, you know, with the cricket, tennis, football, rugby, etc. So there's ample going on out there and ample of opportunities as we expand and move forward. But yes, our next exciting project is DIFC and then more to come.
Looking forward to that one. In terms of the city that you call home, that you call the base for your business as well, when you set up and running, there were no cycling tracks. There was no Mohammed bin Zayed at the sports stadium. There was no swimming arena here. Since then, it has become a hub for sports, both regionally and internationally. Is that at the core of your business? Do you cater to all residents here as well as elite athletes? Is that something you're keen about?
Absolutely. And I'm so proud to be part of Dubai, to be part of its growth and its development and the way it's focusing on sports. Dubai's a perfect place to have all these sporting venues. The weather is fantastic most times of the year. And they've also developed all these amazing sporting facilities for people to go. They're really pushing it. So we feel that we're right in the centre of what is exploding. So yes, of course, we will see anyone with any musculoskeletal problems, you know, irrespective of age, and basically age, capability, athletic interest, or even, as I said earlier, from anything related to any corporate injuries, aches and pains, it can't be settled. Yeah. What we really do well on is the second opinion service, trying to avoid over-treating, over-investigating, and making sure that the people we do see get the right answer quickly and get treated promptly.
Last one from me before we wrap things up with you, Dr. Anna Zuckerman. How are you with personal recognition? I know that Up and Running has, it's been awarded accolades, it's won prizes aplenty with good reason for the extraordinary elite team that you've put together there. Up for Woman of the Year 2018 with the much vaunted Emirates Woman of the Year Awards. Are you good with personal recognition, the pat on the back?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tricky one. I do what I do because I have passion doing what I do. And then to get recognition is an added bonus. I don't do it for being a celebrity. I do it because I enjoy it and because I see that there's need and I do it for others.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Dr. Anna Zuckerman from Up and Running, we thank you for making tracks with us here on Dubai I-103.8. It is one last piece of business for me to take care of is to ask you to introduce your final song. What is it and why?
I want to start the weekend with George Ezra, Shotgun.
What better person to start the weekend with? Anna, thank you so much indeed for your time on Making Tracks. Thanks to you as well, Joe McKibben.
Thank you, Tom.
Started with George Ezra, with finishing with George Ezra as well. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. If you'd like to listen back to that one, it will be available on the podcast in just a few moments' time. Enjoy a little bit of George Ezra to take you through to the weekend. We're back on Sunday from 10 till then. Ta-ra.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. We're south of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road.
This is Dubai I 103.8.